भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य
नरं चैव नरोत्तमं
नरं चैव नरोत्तमं
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं
ततो जयमुदीरये
नष्ट
प्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया
नित्यं भागवत सेवया
भगवती उत्तम श्लोके
भगवती उत्तम श्लोके
भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी
भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी.
So today we are continuing reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, entitled The Cosmic Manifestation, Chapter Number 5, entitled The Cause of All Causes, Text Number 19. कार्यकारणकर्तृत्वे
कार्यकारणकर्तृत्वे
द्रव्यज्ञानक्रियाश्रया
द्रव्यज्ञानक्रियाश्रया
वदन्ति नित्यदा मुक्तम्
वदन्ति नित्यदा मुक्तम्
मायिनं पुरुषं गुणा. कार्य
कार्य
इफेक्ट
इफेक्ट
कारण
कारण
कॉज
कॉज
कर्तृत्वे
कर्तृत्वे
इन एक्टिविटीज
इन एक्टिविटीज
द्रव्य
द्रव्य
मटेरियल
मटेरियल
ज्ञान
ज्ञान
नॉलेज
नॉलेज
क्रिया
आश्रया
मैनिफेस्टेड बाय सच सिम्टम्स
मैनिफेस्टेड बाय सच सिम्टम्स
बदनंती
बदनंती
कंडीशंस
कंडीशंस
नित्यदा
नित्यदा
इटर्नली
इटर्नली
मुक्तम
मुक्तम
ट्रांसेंडेंटल
transcendental
mayinam
mayinam
affected by material energy
affected by material energy
purusham
purusham
the living entity
the living entity
gunah
gunah
the material modes
the material modes.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Translation: these three modes of material nature being further manifested as matter, knowledge and activities put the eternally transcendental living entity under conditions of cause and effect and make him responsible for such activities. Translation, please repeat. These three modes of material nature,
these three modes of material nature
being further manifested,
being further manifested
as matter,
as matter,
knowledge,
knowledge
and activities,
and activities
put the eternally transcendental living entity,
put the eternally transcendental living entity
under conditions of cause and effect,
under conditions of cause and effect,
and make him responsible for such activities,
and make him responsible for such activities.
Purport: because they are between the internal and external potencies, the eternally transcendental living entities are called the marginal potency of the Lord. Factually, the living entities are not meant to be so conditioned by material energy, but due to their being affected by the false sense of lording it over the material energy, they come under the influence of such potency and thus become conditioned by the three modes of material nature. This external energy of the Lord covers up the pure knowledge of the living entities eternally existing with him, but the covering is so constant that it appears that the conditioned soul is eternally ignorant. Such is the wonderful action of maya, or external energy manifested as if materially produced. By the covering power of the material energy, the material scientist cannot look beyond the material causes. But factually, behind the material manifestations, there are adhibhuta, adhyatma and adhideva actions, which the conditioned soul in the mode of ignorance cannot see. The adhibhuta manifestation entails repetitions of births and deaths, with old age and diseases. The adhyatma manifestation conditions the spirit soul, and the adhideva manifestation is the controlling system. These are the material manifestations of cause and effect, and the sense of responsibility of the conditioned actors. They are, after all, manifestations of the conditioned state. And the human being's freedom from such a conditioned state is the highest perfectional attainment. Om Agyam Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahiyam Dati Swapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dina Taranam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we have a very interesting verse today. So here in third line it says, Badnanti Nityada Muktam. So the eternally transcendental living entity comes under the conditions of cause and effect. So that's very interesting. It's like a contradiction. Here it's saying Nityada Muktam. The living entity is transcendentally, eternally transcendental to the three modes of material nature. And then it says Badnanti, that the three modes conditions the living entity. So it's like a contradiction in the third line. So that makes it very interesting. That's why many people and even devotees cannot understand that how, although we are spiritual by nature, but then how are we in touch with the material modes of nature? So today's verse describes it very nicely. So we'll discuss in detail a little bit. Prabhupada mentions these factors, Adibhuta, Adhyatma and Adideva. It's also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. We'll discuss how they affect, how they condition the living entities. So we are hearing about this conversation between Brahma and Narada. And the spiritual master actually reveals the true knowledge to his disciple. And it's a causeless mercy of the spiritual master. Spiritual master is expansion of the super soul. So one can say that, you know, I hear my heart's voice. But to hear your heart's voice and follow that, one has to be very pure. How did Krishna give knowledge to Brahma? He revealed the knowledge within his heart. But because he was very pure, he was the top. He is the topmost living entity in the universe. He is the purest living entity. So Krishna revealed the knowledge within his heart. He spoke the Chatushloki Bhagavatam and he could understand everything. He is self-realized. But we are conditioned by different modes. So it's very difficult for us to understand what is super soul speaking from within the heart. So that's why it's recommended. First you hear from external sources. Then as you get purified, you can easily hear from within your heart. And essentially the message which is coming from outside is not different from what message is coming from inside, because super soul expands himself in the form of spiritual master, and these scriptures which are present in front of us, they are nothing but collection of instructions of super soul. So super soul himself speaks in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is speaking there. So one cannot say that, I don't follow Bhagavad Gita, I follow my heart's my heart's guidance. Whatever comes in my heart, I do that. So that's not a good system. There has to be checks and balances. We have to verify. So the super soul within the heart will not speak something contrary to what's written in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. So if we are not ready to follow Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam nicely, then we are just following Maya's directions, basically. So we are not hearing the super soul's instructions. So real knowledge basically means to understand Krishna fully and to understand Maya fully, that how is Maya working. So in these verses, as today's verse, it's described here that how are material modes binding this living entity. It can seem that there is no direct mention of Krishna here. But ultimately everything in Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita is related to Krishna. So when the scriptures describe that how we are bound by material modes, that definitely means that how we are not looking towards Krishna. Bondage means we are looking in an opposite direction. So that's why these verses like these are also very important to understand how we are bound and how to become free. In Krishna book it's written in the chapter, the last chapter of Rasa Panchadhyay, the five chapters which describe Rasa dance. So in the last chapter, the description of Rasa dance, it's described, Krishna is the master dancer and all living entities are trying to imitate him. So this is very interesting. So the devotees, or those who are looking straight towards Krishna, they respond correctly to the dance of Krishna. So as Krishna wants to move, they move with him. So they are dancing according to him in a pleasing way. And those who are non-devotees, those who don't follow instructions of Krishna directly from these scriptures, from spiritual master, they are actually dancing under the direction of Maya. And Maya, as we know, is an agency of Krishna. So ultimately everyone is dancing under Krishna's order, either directly or indirectly. But if we dance directly under his direction, so it's very harmonious dance and it's very enjoyable. Otherwise there is friction. If you dance according to Maya's tune, then it's a very painful dance. We see in the discos and all these nightclubs, they dance, they have to take drugs and then they dance, and it's very painful the next day or the same day. Someone has to take them home in many cases. I remember one time in India, my friend, I just remembered it. One of my friends, he drove his car, he went to a party and he drank so much and whatever, he took drugs or whatever. So now he thought he couldn't drive back. So he had to call another friend that please drive me to my house. So he was dancing under the direction of Maya. So that is the result. So if we dance according to Krishna, it's very pleasurable. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami describes that Ekale Ishwara Krishna Arasava Vritya Yare Yaiche Nachaye Se Taichit Kare Nritya. So Krishna is the supreme controller. He is actually controlling everyone. And according to his wish, everyone is dancing. So we have to understand that how we are like puppets in his hands and we have to move according to his plan. So here Prabhupada mentions that the living entity is marginal potency, tatastha. So in Bhagavad Gita actually it mentions that living entity or the marginal potency is actually greater than the external potency. It says, apareyam itastvanyam prakritim vidhi me param, that this living entity is a superior nature and it's trying to exploit the external energy. In Srimad Bhagavatam it is described that Krishna is the source of all energies. He has multifarious energies. And one energy can overpower another energy. But no energy can overpower Krishna, who is the source of all energies. That's why when people say that when Krishna comes, he is in this material world, he has a body made of matter, that is not true. Because he is the source of all energies, he cannot be bound by any of his energies. But the marginal potency can come under the grips of external potency, or if the marginal potency is liberated, then the external energy comes under his directions. The pure devotees, actually, they are not affected by external energy at all. They overpower Maya. So that's what it's very important to understand, that the marginal potency has to take shelter somewhere, either on the internal potency or external potency. So if one takes shelter on external potency, so the result is that all our plans will be defeated. And in Bhagavad Gita it's mentioned, mogasha moga karmano moga gyan vichetasa. If you take shelter of external potency, because it's temporary and it's flickering, and the purpose of material energy is to defeat your material plans, so ultimately, you know, mogasha, all our hopes are defeated, all our attempts for fruitive actions are defeated, all our knowledge is defeated. But the devotees, mahatmanas tu mam partha devim prakritim ashrita, the devotees are taking shelter of the superior internal energy. So it's like they have to hang somewhere on you know, if there is a hanger, if you see in our paraphernalia room, there's so many dresses, deity dresses, and they are in a cloth bag, and you hang them on a support there on the rails, and it's very stable and strong. And many dresses, if you see today's dress, it's like there's so much embroidery, they are very heavy. So if you put dress in one cloth bag, it's very heavy. So if you hang it on the rails, they are very strong, so they can support so many dresses on one rail. But just imagine if you hang that hanger on a thread. You know, for a few seconds it might hang, but then the thread will break. So same way, when the living entity tries to take shelter of material energy, it's like that. You're trying to hang a heavy thing on a thread. And then when that thread breaks, you know, you hang it on another thread. So that's what's happening. You know, people are trying this thing and that thing, this material relationship, that material relationship, and you are being defeated again and again, this plan, that plan. And then they are trying to again and again take shelter of material energy, and they are repeatedly being defeated. So an intelligent person takes shelter of the internal potency on which everything is stable. So in now going into little bit technical detail, here it's mentioned, as we said, badnati nityada muktam. So the three modes bind the eternally transcendental living entity. So how does it happen? The living entity is spiritual, it's eternally transcendental, then how do three modes bind this eternally transcendental living entity? It's described actually in fourth canto. The process is described how, step by step, how the living entity is bound by these three modes. So there it's mentioned, yada akshay charitan dhyayan. So first, the living entity starts contemplating on the sense enjoyment. So we were with Krishna, we were enjoying, so everything was fine, but we just think that there was no distaste from the service to Krishna, but the living entity just thought that what would be if I try to please my own senses rather than Krishna's senses. And then when that contemplation begins, then the next step comes. So in Bhagavad Gita also it's mentioned. Dhyayato Vishyan Pumsa Sangas Teshu Pajayate Sangat Sanjayate Kama Kamat Krodho Vijayate. So once you contemplate on material sense gratification, your personal sense gratification, then you become attached to it. And then material desires come. So they are registered within the subtle body. All these material plans for sense gratification, they are registered in the mind. It's Prabhupada mentions there as it's like a spool of mind. They are recorded there. And they are like the bijas. They are the seeds. And then the next step is karmanya chunite sakrit. So then you create so many material activities. You know, you just don't think about something. You have to do it. Right? If you just think, I want to drive in a Mercedes, we won't be happy with just the thought. You have to do it. So that's why when these thoughts come, we contemplate. So then the next step is we want to do it. So that's well. So once we start doing those activities, then we enter that loop. And it's very complex. So we come under illusion and we are entrapped. We again and again want to do those material activities. Bandha karmanya natmana. So we are bound. Bandhan. Bandhan means we are bound by these activities. So we do that material action, then there is a reaction, so then we do another action. So it's a very complex chain. It's like a vicious circle. We are trapped in there. So the solution is described in Bhagavad Gita that we have to do activities for pleasure of Krishna. Yagyarthat karmanonyatra. So all material activities have to be dovetailed for the purpose of Krishna. So this thinking, willing, feeling, we have to properly dovetail so that we are pleasing Krishna, not for our own personal sense gratification. So it's described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur that anadi karma phale, that from time immemorial actually we had been trapped in this cycle of material actions and reactions. And only way to get out of it is bhakti yoga. That's the remedy. So the six Goswamis, as we know, they exhibited this. Sankhya purvaka naam gaan nati vi kala vasani kritav. So they were very in a regulated way, they were following, they were showing that they are following Vedi sadhana bhakti. Sankhya purva, they are counting their rounds, they are counting their obeisances, and they are showing us that please follow this example. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was counting his rounds. Once when he was about to go for South Indian Yatra, I suppose, so the devotee said, you have to take one devotee with you, because your hands will be busy. When one hand you would be chanting and another hand you would be counting. So there it shows, Prabhupada writes that even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was counting his rounds. So the devotee said, that's why you need someone to carry your stuff. So they didn't want Mahaprabhu to go alone. So these Goswamis, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, they are exhibiting that how by following this Vedi Sadhana Bhakti we can get rid of this bondage. So here in this verse, very interestingly, it shows Prabhupada says, the covering is so constant that it appears that the conditioned soul is eternally ignorant. So actually, if you talk to people that, you know, or when you are distributing books, oh, this is a book on yoga meditation. So many people, if you just talk to them, everyone says, this is a part of life, you know, birth, death, disease, yeah, that's a part of life. So it becomes so natural. It looks like very natural. Yes, that's what you do. We are the body and you know, we satisfy the body. So here it says it's like constant covering is there. But when you see that picture that we show to most devotees, that all the time body is changing actually. So it's not that it's an eternal position. We are not the body, we are this tiny, eternally transcendental spiritual soul. So this body is just like a covering, and it's not a permanent thing. It's not a part of life. You don't need a body to act. The soul has its own activities, and you don't require a body for pleasure. So that's why it's like a constant covering. Another place in Srimad Bhagavatam, in 11th canto, three examples are given to support this phenomena, that how body is changing all the time. So the first example is of a flame of a candle. So flame of a candle, sometimes it waxes and sometimes it's, you know, it's very bright. And it looks like a constant flame. But actually there's, at every moment there's a new flame, because the wax is being burned and there's a new flame there. But it looks like a constant thing. In the same way, this body looks like a constant. Yeah, we are the body, it's there. But all the time it's changing. All this, you know, some cells are dying, new cells are being born. The second example given there is of current of a river. So if you watch the river at one particular point, sometimes, you know, it rises, the current rises, sometimes it falls, it forms various patterns. But there is a different body of water there. You know, it's all the time changing actually. All the time it's changing. And the third example is given of a fruit on a tree. So it looks like there's a fruit, but if we see closely, it's changing all the time. There are different stages in the life of a fruit. You know, it's born, then it grows, then it stays, and then it ripens, then it becomes sweet, then it rots, and then it just dies. So in the same way, body has temporary phases. So we have to understand we are not the body. It's just happening, something. This is like a covering, and we are changing it all the time as clothes. We are not these clothes. We are changing clothes every day or few times a day. So we can't become attached to what's temporary. So that's the understanding given here. And further actually describes, if you go in more, the words, the technical words which are described here is adibhuta, adhyatma, and adideva. So how this eternally transcendental soul is bound up is by these three actions. Badnanti nityada muktam. So the soul is entrapped. So these are the three factors which bind the soul. So adibhuta, here it says that it's repetition of birth and death. In Bhagavad Gita 8th chapter, it describes all these three factors, that how the soul is bound up. So it's very important to understand all these technical details, because it's about us. It's not some, you know, like when we go to a uni to study, there's so much detail. Whatever subject you study medicine, accounting, or anything, engineering, there's so much detail, and very boring. It's very boring. But you do it because you have to pass the exam, because you have to get a job, you have to work and get money and eat and sleep. Basically, that's the motivation. Just see, the motivation is to eat and sleep. And you are ready to, read and memorize that boring knowledge for years and years. But this knowledge is not boring, because it's related to us. So we should be attached to this, actually. We should, understand it in a deep way. So that's adibhuta. It's a repetition of birth and death. And adhyatma is the eternal nature. Svabhavo dhyatma muchyate. So our eternal nature is that we are the spirit soul. But if we think we are the body, then we are trapped. So in the material world, the living entity thinks he is the body, and that's, it's like a constant covering, and he thinks, I am the body eternally, so I have to act on the bodily platform. So that's adhyatma. We have adhyatmic klesha, all these miseries caused by our own body and mind. If we think we are body and mind, so then we'll have the miseries caused by body and mind. So if we think we are the soul, we'll act on the spiritual platform, then there is no problems. And adhideva is the controlling system. So the whole universal form of Lord, which includes the demigods, that's called adhideva. So we are being controlled. We are under the laws of nature. So all these manifestations are there, and we live in this world. It's just like a dream. The material existence is like a dream. So sometimes when we are having a bad dream, so we are suffering in the dream, we are suffering. And when we wake up, we are very happy. When the bad dream ends, we are very happy. And if we are having a very good dream, and when we wake up, we are very sad. Oh no, I was about to do this, about to win the lottery, you know. So then we are very sad. So that shows that in a dream, there is a duality. Sometimes we are happy, sometimes not. There is hankering, lamenting. So we have to wake up to Krishna consciousness. So this process of Krishna consciousness, chanting, hearing, associating with devotees, deity worship, this will wake us up. Mahaprabhu says, jeev jago, Gaura Chandra bole. So you have to wake up. Till when we can we sleep on the lap of which Maya? So this process of bhakti will wake us up. But initially, for neophytes, it's not attractive. In the very beginning phases, everything is blissful, and then we slowly, you know, we have to work harder towards getting the same bliss. So how to get attracted to these pastimes of Krishna, form of Krishna, name of Krishna, qualities of Krishna? There's a very nice pastime in 10th canto. It's described, one time the residents of Vrindavan, they decided that we would go and worship Lord Shiva. So there it's mentioned, actually Prabhupada mentions that sometimes even Vaishnavas worship demigods, and it is okay. But there it's mentioned it was not like a yearly event. Sometimes they thought, one time they thought, oh, might as well worship Shiva, so that's okay. But the result of that worship was their attraction for Krishna increased. So gopis prayed to Katyayani, Durga Devi, to get Krishna as their husband, and their attraction increased for Krishna after that whole event. So devotees, if we worship demigods, if someone asks us, can we worship demigods? So the answer is yes, you can worship demigods, but only for one purpose, to get attraction for Krishna. But then, you know, someone would logically say, why not worship Krishna directly? And if you worship demigods for personal, material sense gratification, then that is the wrong process. So one time these residents of Vrindavan, headed by Nanda Maharaj, they went to a forest to worship Lord Shiva and Ambika, his wife. And there, they were taking rest, and there was a big snake. It came and it started swallowing Nanda Maharaj. And he started shouting, Krishna, Krishna, save me. So, but we can see Krishna is just like a small boy. And the residents of Vrindavan, those who are in Vatsalya Bhav, they think we are maintaining and protecting Krishna. So then when the snake is swallowing Nanda Maharaj, why is he shouting Krishna? He is thinking he is the maintainer of and protector of Krishna. How can he, Krishna, protect him? So the answer is because they are so attracted to Krishna, whatever happens, they just say Krishna. So they just call him, they just want to see him. So when he called Krishna's name, Krishna appeared there. And he touched the snake with his foot, and it was. They found out that actually that snake was a demigod, Vidyadhar. And then he went. He paid obeisances to Krishna, and he went back to heavenly planets. And then there it's described, all the residents went back to their village, and they, those who were not present at in the forest, they heard these pastimes from those who visited the forest. And it is described there when Nanda Maharaj and others described the pastime, their attraction for Krishna increased. So this is one process. So why do we repeatedly say the same pastimes again and again? Because this result is there. If we repeatedly speak and glorify and recite these pastimes, then our attraction for Krishna will increase. If we see the form of Krishna again and again, our attraction for his form will increase. If we chant the holy name again and again every day, then our attraction for holy name will increase. If we understand that how Krishna is acting, what are his qualities, if we every day see that how Krishna was kind upon us, then our attraction for his qualities will increase. So this is say, it is said that initially we have like the jaundice, you know, we have the disease of jaundice, so we cannot taste the holy name. But if we keep chanting the holy name, eventually it will be attracted to it. We won't be able to stop chanting. So by following this process of bhakti, we have to understand that we can be free. We are free actually. We are eternally free. Nityada muktam. We are always free. And if we follow this process of bhakti, then we cannot be bound up by maya. And what is the test of our advancement in Krishna consciousness? So there are two things. If we are advancing in Krishna consciousness, we'll lose taste for two things. One is the material activities. Many times it's seen when, you know, devotees, when we come to Krishna consciousness, if we are working or studying, we lose interest there, you know, all these material activities. You know, we don't want to go to work. We don't want to go to uni. One time I remember I used to study with Ekatma Gaur Prabhu, and he was there. He used to live near temple, and then I shifted. And when I came to Krishna consciousness, I was very enthusiastic. So all the uni studies seemed very boring. So I was sitting in the library, and I think very soon there was exam, and I was reading Bhagavad Gita in library. You know, I was hiding in one place and reading. And he came and he said, "What are you doing? You should study for the exam." So it felt very boring. So this is one test, that you will lose taste for material activities. And second is you will lose taste for personal sense gratification. Sense gratification is actually inherent with all living entities. But there are two ways of sense gratification. One is personal sense gratification, and another is sense gratification of Krishna. So we have to see that our every activity should be a sense gratification for Krishna. So when we are chanting, Krishna is hearing. So we should chant in a way that he would like it. You know, when we recite his pastimes, it's all for pleasure of Krishna. When we cook something, when we honor prasad, everything is for pleasure of Krishna. If we act for pleasure of Krishna's senses, then we can be fully advanced in Krishna consciousness. So just to summarize and conclude, that we discuss that how this eternally transcendental living entity is bound up by three modes of material nature. It's just by this contemplation on personal sense gratification. But carefully understanding our eternal nature, we can very easily be liberated. We can come again to the liberated platform by following this Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. So I can ask if there is any questions or comments on what we discussed.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the wonderful class, Prabhu. About the entrapment of the transcendental jiva by material, mundane, dead elements. The elements are dead themselves. The controlling entities of these elements, under the jurisdiction of Maya Devi, they are conscious that the jiva is to be bound up.
Sorry, who?
The different presiding deities of the controlling elements of material nature.
Yeah, they are conscious.
They are conscious. Yeah. We are also conscious. They are also conscious. They are conscious that they have to trap us up, keep us trapped.
Yeah, that's their duty.
Or is it only Durga Devi who is conscious and she is engaging everybody else?
No, all these presiding deities of elements, they are also conscious. As it says here in today's verse, this Adhidaiva. In Bhagavad Gita, it's mentioned Purushascha Adhidaivatam. So what is this? Adhideva is the universal form of the Lord, which includes the demigods. So all these demigods, presiding deities of planets, senses, everything, they are all conscious because they are a part of universal form of Lord. Although it's temporary, but it's conscious. It's an imaginary form, but it's conscious because it's Lord's form. And they are the limbs. They are various limbs, these demigods. So they are conscious.
Because the dead elements, the gross dead elements, mm. the gross material elements, they don't seem to have any power on the
yes.
conscious jiva. So it is, you know, programming the subtle elements or influencing the subtle
yeah.
elements that is keeping us trapped here.
Yeah. So as we know, initially the whole pradhan is there and it's collection of all material elements, and the glance of Lord activates it. It's like activates. The example given in Bhagavatam is of like when a man, he wakes up a woman to enjoy. It's like that. So they are dead, the elements in themselves, they are dead, but when the Lord glances, it becomes activated. And then, you know, all these demigods, they act in various roles and everything looks very live. But actually it's all dead. It's the spirit soul is moving, the dead thing.
So now comes the question. That was my understanding, the first part. So in the subtle elements, the gross elements don't have the power. It is more programming the subtle elements, the subtle covering of the jiva.
Subtle elements are also dead.
Are also dead.
Yeah, because they are also matter. They are subtle matter, gross matter. So
yeah.
they are all dead. All material elements are, well, matter means it's dead. Spirit soul means it's conscious.
Yes.
So to move the subtle matter or to move the gross matter, there has to be a consciousness. So ultimate consciousness is supreme consciousness, and the demigods are empowered by that supreme consciousness. They are also conscious, and then they move the subtle and gross matter.
So there is the mind, the intelligence, and
yeah.
the ahankar, the
yeah.
false ego. So which is affected first? Is it a combined mixture of?
Yeah, detail is given in second and third cantos how from sound and then all these elements came about. I don't remember the full detail, but if you want, you can read there
yeah.
that in what progression, you know, the elements come about. It's described how Mahatattva, when it reacts with various modes, produces what. You know, it's described there.
It's very
yeah.
fascinating.
Yeah.
Eternally transcendental jiva gets trapped by
yeah.
mundane elements.
Yeah.
And matter. Self-defeating.
Okay, any last question? Or comment? Okay, thank you very much. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande.